Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, April 26, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Elon Musk pulls off one of the biggest leveraged buyouts in history. We have team coverage of his Twitter takeover.
Microsoft and Apple lead the earnings parade today.
And Russia's foreign minister warns the risk of nuclear war can't be underestimated.
President Trump's legal troubles continue with New York's AG. Plus, the southern border remains closed for migrants after a judge kept Title 42 in place. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Nets season is over. Swept by the Celtics, a ninth-inning rally for the Mets to win in St. Louis.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 10 points this morning. Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures down 33. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.78%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.59%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.75%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin this morning with one of the biggest leveraged buyouts in history. Elon Musk has clinched a $44 billion deal to take Twitter private. Investors will receive $54.20 for each Twitter share they own. We have team coverage for you this morning, starting with Ed Ludlow in our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco. Ed has more on four changes Musk may make to the platform going forward.
It's four main things. An edit button that is time sensitive. He's talked about that. Removing bots from the platform. He's talked about that. Open sourcing the algorithm and looking at the underlying technology for Twitter. And then finally, he's going to look at the issues of bans. Elon Musk basically framed it as being he was more in favor of timeouts than all-out bans on the platform.
Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says the deal was approved unanimously by Twitter's board. It's expected to be completed later this year.
So where will Elon Musk get the cash to buy Twitter? Bloomberg's Renita Young continues our team coverage and joins us live in New York with that part of the story. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. It's the $21 billion mystery. Now, there's little doubt Elon Musk can come up with the money. After all, the Bloomberg Billionaires Index shows he's the world's richest person with a fortune of $257 billion. But Bloomberg estimates show Musk has just about $3 billion in cash and somewhat liquid assets. So that leaves him with at least three options for financing. One way, find other investors who buy into his vision, and he's already hinted at this possibility. Another, he could sell some of his stake in Tesla, but that'll likely put the stock price at risk. And thirdly, since Musk is likely even richer than calculated by the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, he might not even need new sources of funding to cover the $21 billion. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Now, some lawmakers are pushing back against the buyout. Senator Elizabeth Warren is calling Musk's Twitter deal dangerous. Ed Baxter continues our team coverage from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Musk and Warren are familiar foes. They've had battles over a number of issues, but Warren's verbiage here is very strong. She says the deal is dangerous for our democracy. She says, quote, billionaires like Elon Musk play by a different set of rules than everyone else, accumulating power for their own gain. It's dangerous because one billionaire decides how millions of people will have an opportunity to communicate with each other. The deal has potential roadblocks, beginning with the SEC, but this one threatens to be very heated. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. We'll have more analysis on the Musk Twitter deal in a few minutes when we speak with Bloomberg Quick Takes' Alex Webb.
Well, now to the latest on the war in Ukraine, Nathan. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov warns the risk of nuclear war is real and cannot be underestimated. That's after Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the U.S. wants to see Russian forces weakened in Ukraine. This morning, Secretary Austin is pledging continued U.S. support.
Ukraine has done a magnificent job defending its sovereignty against Russia's unprovoked invasion.
And Defense Secretary
Ukraine's valor and skill will go down in military history.
And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke this morning from Ramstein Air Base in Germany. Meantime, the White House says President Biden also working on his next request for Ukraine aid to Congress.
The White House is also taking action on COVID care, and the Biden administration plans to allow all pharmacies to order Pfizer's COVID-19 therapy pill as it looks to boost access to the drug as supply increases. Starting this week, tens of thousands of pharmacies will be able to order the drug.
Well, since the start of the pandemic, Nathan, global events and meetings have gone virtual, but now Fed Chair Jay Powell is set to hold his first in-person press conference since COVID emerged. He'll meet live with reporters following the conclusion of next week's two-day policy meeting.
Well, inflation will be a main focus for Powell at that news conference, Karen, and data this morning show prices heading even higher for consumers. According to a survey from the National Federation of Independent Business, 4 in 10 U.S. small businesses plan to raise prices by at least 10%.
Well, on Wall Street today, Nathan, we get a clearer picture of how big business is faring. Earnings roll in this afternoon from Microsoft and Google. We get a preview from Bloomberg's John Tucker.
Google parent Alphabet has been helped by a rebound in digital advertising, but the shares have lagged, and the stock will also face a more difficult year-over-year growth comparison. Analysts estimate earnings per share of $25.73, down 2% from a year earlier. At Microsoft, analysts are expecting earnings per share of $2.19. The company may report strong cloud results that could more than offset any potential weakness in its consumer business. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And crossing the Bloomberg, UPS's first quarter crop profit beating analyst estimates, and PepsiCo's organic revenue forecast for the year also beat. Nathan.
It's also a big day for earnings in Europe, Karen. We get the very latest on that with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. A trio of banking sector beats this morning. UBS riding the trading boom with better than expected profit in the first quarter. But the Swiss bank's key wealth management business hit by slowing client activity and rising costs. Spain's Santander also beating estimates, with the retail banking giant's geographical reach providing a buffer against growing economic risks. And HSBC posting a smaller drop in adjusted pre-tax profit than analysts predicted. Europe's biggest bank reporting lower than expected credit loss provisions. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 9 points, Dow futures down 80, NASDAQ futures are lower by 31 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 8/32, yield 2.78%, yield on the 2-year 2.60%. NYMEX crude down 0.5% at $98.09 a barrel. Local headlines and sports next. This is Bloomberg. Sound 607 on Wall Street. We're 52 degrees in Central Park. We have an accident on the eastbound Cross Bronx Expressway at the Deegan. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A New York judge has found former President Donald Trump in contempt of court for failing to adequately respond to a subpoena issued by the state's attorney general as part of a civil investigation into his business dealings. The judge ordered Trump to pay a fine of $10,000 per day. New York Attorney General Letitia James had asked the court to hold Trump in contempt after he missed a March 31st court-imposed deadline to turn over documents. Trump has called her investigation a politically motivated witch hunt. A federal judge in Louisiana has temporarily blocked the Biden administration from lifting the border restrictions put in place during the coronavirus pandemic. Title 42 was supposed to be lifted on May 23rd. The temporary restraining order was requested by 21 Republican-led states. Bloomberg political contributor Rick Davis says it seems the Biden administration has bungled its administration policy.
And it just seems like they haven't really focused on what the impact is at the state level. They didn't consult states that are impacted by the border. And now the whole thing seems to be adding a lot of confusion. Frankly, very reminiscent of the current COVID policy, where there just doesn't seem to be a strategy in play here.
Bloomberg political contributor Rick Davis spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. Workers at a second Amazon.com warehouse in Staten Island began voting Monday on whether to join an upstart union that already won a historic election at a nearby facility. Employees at the warehouse called LDJ5 will cast their ballots through Friday, with results expected as early as May 2nd. 2 days before a mother of 14 children was scheduled to die in a Texas death chamber, Melissa Lucio received a last-minute reprieve. Supporters of Lucio, accused of killing her 2-year-old child, found a forensic expert who says her child's fatal injuries were consistent with an accidental fall. Lucio's son, John Lucio.
we're going to believe in God, and we're going to continue believing him and keep our faith up with him and keep on fighting this fight till we bring her home. She's no longer going to be executed. My mother will be free soon.
John Lucio says a court will rule on the new evidence. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, this NBA season began with high hopes for the New York teams. The Knicks were expected to at least make the playoffs. The Nets were expected to compete for the championship. Neither thing happened. The Celtics completed a first-round sweep for the Nets, taking Game 4 in Brooklyn 116-112. Jason Tatum, 29 points. Boston survived. Tatum fouling out in the fourth quarter. Kevin Durant, so quiet the first three games of the series, did come alive with 39 points, but Durant goes out in the first round for the first time in his career. He also had never gotten swept in a series before. KD is signed. He should be back in Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving may not be. Who knows about Ben Simmons? He was acquired for James Harden and never did play this season. Toronto stayed alive. A Game 5 win at Philadelphia, whose lead is now 3-2. Dallas beat Utah by 25 to go up 3-2. Memphis's Ja Morant named the NBA's most improved player. The Mets in St. Louis. Max Scherzer, terrific. 7 innings, no runs, 2 hits, 10 strikeouts. We got no run support. And the Cardinals broke up a scoreless game with 2 runs in the 8th inning. The Mets then rallied in the 9th.
Gallegos ready, his pitch. Swinging a ground ball toward first. Goldschmidt, a diving stop. Nobody's covering first. Look to Gallegos. Smith is safe. McNeil around third. Throw home. He's safe. The Mets have the lead. Dominic Smith comes through off the bench with 2 outs in the top of the 9th.
CBS had it. Brandon Nimmo followed with a 2-run homer, and the Mets improved to 13-5. They beat the Cardinals 5-2. Yankees host Baltimore tonight. If the Rangers have any hopes of winning the division, they'll need to beat Carolina tonight at the Garden. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. And just in, Elon Musk has filed an amended 13D with the Securities and Exchange Commission on Twitter, saying he's entered into a new debt commitment letter as of April 25th and amended the equity commitment letter to reflect the merger pact. Much more on Elon Musk's buyout of Twitter. We'll be speaking with Alex Webb of Bloomberg Quick Take. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly cloudy today. Chance for showers with a high near 65 degrees. It'll be mostly sunny tomorrow, upper 50s. High near 55 Thursday, mostly sunny and breezy by then. Right now, 52 and cloudy in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are lower ahead of a slew of earnings. We already heard from PepsiCo this morning. It raised its sales growth estimates for the year as consumers return to bars, restaurants, and events due to easing pandemic restrictions. And UPS reported a first quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. But U.S. stock index futures again are moving lower, with S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 115, NASDAQ futures down 48, 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.78%, the yield on the 2-year 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.5% or 44 cents at $98.10 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $10.10 at $19.06.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0680 against the dollar. British pound 1.2711. The yen at 127.81. And Bitcoin this morning higher by 0.5% at $40,380. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov warned Ukraine against provoking World War III. Lavrov said on Russian TV that the threat of a nuclear conflict should not be underestimated. There's mounting pressure on former Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to turn over additional information to January 6th congressional investigators. More than 2,000 of Meadows' texts, first reported by CNN, have now been released. According to the text, some of Donald Trump's staunchest allies in Congress wanted him to declare martial law to prevent Joe Biden from becoming president.
In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics eliminated the Nets. Boston beat Brooklyn 116-112 to sweep the series in four games. In MLB, the Mets and Giants won, the Red Sox lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and our team coverage of Elon Musk's $44 billion buyout of Twitter continues now. We're very pleased to be joined this morning by Alex Webb, Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent and tech columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Alex, you have written extensively about the lead-up to this buyout, the potential for Elon Musk to take Twitter private, and I guess one of the biggest among the many questions that still have to be answered is, how is Elon Musk going to change Twitter?
It is a question that is befuddling a lot of us. Look, he's made a few comments about the operations of the company. The key things, it can go in one of two directions. It can go in both. There are financial changes he can make to improve profit, and there are things that he can change that suit his own personal agenda. Namely, he talks a lot about trying to make it a platform for free speech, one. But he's also secured debt financing from a lot of reputable banks, and he made presentations, it's been reported by our colleagues in Bloomberg News, he made presentations which convinced them that he does have a financial model for the company. So then you have to look at that and go, well, is it about adding more users, or is it about extracting more value from the users that you have? The second piece is the easier lever to pull. You've already got that audience, and so you've got to think about whether it's a subscription model or just extracting more advertising value from those users.
We've seen another of the mega billionaires, Jeff Bezos, sort of taking a swipe at Elon Musk on Twitter after this news came out. It kind of raised maybe an out of left field question for me. I wonder if there's a parallel to be drawn here between Jeff Bezos buying out the Washington Post and Elon Musk buying out Twitter, sort of a media play as sort of a free speech platform in that, to that extent.
So I think on one level there are parallels, namely that a lot of billionaires buy big media assets. We've got Time magazine, which is owned by Mark Benioff, obviously Bezos at the Washington Post, John Edwards owns the Boston Globe, and Twitter is essentially the biggest available media platform, media outlet. There's a substantial difference, though. Bezos committed to not intervening editorially with the Washington Post, and certainly looking from the outside, it appears that he has held true to that promise. Elon, from the get-go, has made it very clear that he intends to intervene with the way that Twitter is run, and if it's all about free speech, with the politics of it. So there are similarities, but there is that crucial difference.
Yeah, we've certainly seen that influence playing out on Elon Musk's Twitter feed itself. And I wonder if we could sort of glean from the many tweets that Elon Musk has put out there, which ideas is he serious about? Which ones is he just sort of putting out there just to get people talking?
The free speech one is clearly top of the list. Quite what that entails, the proof is in the pudding. Does it mean Donald Trump comes back onto the platform? It would certainly seem that way. But there are, again, important caveats here. There are a whole raft of regulations in the works around the world. Just last week, the European Parliament agreed on a set of proposals to limit or place important checks and measures over what can be posted on social media, damaging content, criminal content, online harms. Similar stuff is in the works in the US and in the UK. That will limit his ability to be a true free speech absolutist. The operational stuff, he has not really talked about how to make it more profitable than it is right now. Now, clearly, if it's a private company, the impetus for growth is not going to be as high, but he will need to be repaying banks for the debt that he's raised. That means that he needs to generate some cash flows, and there are ways you can do that by, for example, increasing the ad exposure to the people you already have, or, as I said, perhaps thinking about a subscription model where that is harder to generate growth, but it can give you more predictable cash flows, which is something that, of course, debt holders like.
And only about 30 seconds left here. Which do you think is the likeliest option for Elon Musk to try to make Twitter more profitable, if that is his motivation?
Well, in his support of Elon, and Jack Dorsey, the former CEO who's perceived as staying very close to him, said he'd always regretted the fact that it was an advertising-based model. So that would seem to suggest it's going to be something else. That might mean, therefore, that subscriptions are the path that he picks.
Very interesting. As always, Alex, great to have you on with us. Thanks for this. Alex Webb is a tech columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. You can catch him on Bloomberg Quick Take as well. He's a correspondent there. And we will continue our team coverage of Elon Musk's Twitter buyout as we await big tech earnings. Our five things you need to know to start your day just ahead here on Bloomberg Daybreak. That's as we watch earnings from General Electric cross the Bloomberg terminal. Profit beat estimates, but the outlook has come in shy of analyst estimates. We'll be watching GE shares throughout the morning here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly cloudy, chance for showers today with a high near 65, upper 50s, mostly sunny tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, mid-50s by Thursday. Right now, 52 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 0.83% to 1.83%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, Elon Musk has clinched a $44 billion deal to take Twitter private. In San Francisco, Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow has more on what's next for shareholders.
Each investor will receive $54.20 for each share that they hold. The deal has the unanimous backing of Twitter's board, and the transaction is expected to close by the end of this year. The deal also includes a provision where Elon Musk, according to sources, would have to pay Twitter a fee if he were to walk away from the deal.
Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says Twitter cannot solicit other offers while the transaction is pending.
So where will Elon Musk get the cash to buy Twitter? Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live in New York with that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. It's the $21 billion mystery. Now, there's little doubt Elon Musk can come up with the money. After all, the Bloomberg Billionaires Index shows he's the world's richest person with a fortune of $257 billion. But Bloomberg estimates show Musk has just about $3 billion in cash and somewhat liquid assets. So that leaves him with at least three options for financing. One way, Musk could find other investors who buy into his vision, and he's already hinted at this possibility. Another, he could sell some of his stake in Tesla, but that'll likely put the stock price at risk. And third, since Musk is likely even richer than calculated by the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, he might not even need new sources of funding to cover the $21 billion. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, overseas, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov suggested talks with the U.S. could help end the war in Ukraine, but warned of serious risk of a nuclear conflict. Meanwhile, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin pledged the U.S. will continue supporting Ukraine.
We have much more to do. Ukraine needs our help to win today, and they will still need our help when the war is over.
U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin speaking today after visiting Kyiv over the weekend.
Turning to the Fed, Karen, Jay Powell, the chairman, will hold an in-person press conference after next week's two-day policy meeting. Powell's last in-person presser was on March 2020.
And it's another big day for earnings. Alphabet and Microsoft release results after the bell. We just heard from General Electric, and first quarter profit beat analyst estimates. Capital One and Visa also report today. Futures this morning are lower, and that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street, 53 degrees in Central Park, 45-minute delays on the upper level GWB. I'll tell you why. Coming up in traffic first, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Former President Donald Trump was held in contempt of court today and ordered to pay a fine of $10,000 per day. A New York judge made the ruling against Trump for failing to adequately respond to a subpoena from New York's Attorney General. Trump's attorney said they will appeal this contempt, holding in part because they say the subpoena documents simply don't exist. A federal judge has now granted a temporary restraining order preventing the Biden administration from lifting Title 42. That's the Trump-era public health order, which allowed Border Patrol to turn away illegal migrants to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Bloomberg's political contributor, Jeannie Zeno.
I think one of the things that's gotten the Biden administration tripped up here, quite frankly, is they keep saying this is a matter of public health, not politics. It is a matter of public health, but it's also politics. And what's tripping them up is you can't divorce the two.
Jeannie Zeno spoke with our Washington correspondent, Joe Matthew, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. Judges on New York's Court of Appeals are set to hear arguments in a lawsuit claiming Democrats illegally gerrymandered the boundaries of the state's new congressional districts. Two lower courts have already ruled that the district maps were drafted specifically to give Democrats an advantage. A mid-level appeals court last week gave the legislature a deadline of April 30th to come up with revised maps. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill setting up an election police force.
You compare us to some of these other states, we did a better job. But there's a lot that needs to be addressed. And so we weren't going to just sit there and say, oh, yeah, we've got everything figured out, because there was more to do in the state of Florida.
Democrats in the state are accusing Republicans of creating public distrust in the integrity of elections. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals issued a stay of execution for Melissa Lucio. The 52-year-old mother of 14 was convicted in the death of her 2-year-old child. However, defense lawyers and supporters say there's new evidence that supports the theory that the child fractured its skull accidentally falling down steep stairs. Melissa Lucio's son talked to his mother on the phone, holding it to the microphone.
I just want to say thank you to everybody who has supported me and given me love.
Her supporters say Lucio's confession was coerced. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street, John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets began the season as championship contenders. They had three superstars, but James Harden got traded, Kevin Durant got hurt, and the unvaccinated Kyrie Irving for most of the season either didn't play at all or then just on the road. They got Ben Simmons for Harden, but he never played at all. So a bizarre Nets season, and it ended in Brooklyn, a 116-112 win by the Celtics, who finished off a surprising first-round sweep. They won all four games by single digits. Jason Tatum outplayed Durant, although KD did come alive last night with 39 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. Didn't help the Nets that Nick Claxton was 1 for 11 from the free-throw line, 4 for 22 in the series. Was it Kyrie's last game as a Net? Sounds like it wasn't.
I'm just using that as fuel for the summer and coming to the season, starting from October, and just getting a good start as a team. And hopefully we don't run into any barriers, and we could just start fresh.
Irving is expected to decline a $37 million option, become a free agent. He says he wants to be back, but 2 years ago he said he wanted to stay in Boston. He left. Celtics, the only team so far to advance. Philadelphia was up 3-0. It's now 3-2 as Toronto won in Philly. Dallas, an easy win. Now up 3-2 on Utah. What a win for the Mets. A pitcher's duel in St. Louis as Max Scherzer was terrific. Cardinals scored twice, bottom of the eighth, and the Mets scored 5 in the ninth, capped by a Brandon Nimmo 2-run homer, and the Mets beat the Cards 5-2. Yankees home tonight for Baltimore, and the Rangers home tonight for a big game with first-place Carolina. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us this morning. Not much to talk about, Kriti.
Debatable.
Debatable. There's a lot going on with Twitter, of course. Was that sarcasm, Nathan? I'm sorry. The coffee hasn't hit.
We'll let that kick in for you. Yeah, let's talk Twitter, shall we?
Twitter. TWTR is your ticker, up 0.7%. Now, remember, a lot of this news came in yesterday's trading session, so there isn't necessarily a post-market surprise that it's going to kind of digest in the shares. Nevertheless, for those who aren't keeping up with Twitter, Tesla CEO Elon Musk has officially landed the deal to take Twitter private for $44 billion. It looks like he does have to put up a little bit of his own financing, $21 billion, I believe. So a lot of the focus today is going to be how he's actually going to make that $21 billion happen, given the rest of the money has been coming from Barclays, Bank of America, MUFG, among several other banks as well. I think the real kind of analysis you want to keep an eye on here is what other stocks in the market are going to be moving off of this news. So, for example, Tesla is going to be a big one. TSLA is your ticker. And this is important because the idea was that does Elon Musk have to leverage his Tesla position to then finance his Twitter bid? And right now, Tesla is actually up in the pre-market, up 0.2%, TSLA once again. But that can very easily change. The negative correlation, which basically means like the dynamic between the two in the last couple of weeks, has been that when Tesla or when Twitter is up on this kind of Elon Musk news, Tesla has actually been down in response to the idea that he's going to have to leverage his Tesla shares to buy Twitter. So once again, that's going to be a big part of the conversation today. Keep an eye on both of them because they're both tech and they can both move the market. DWAC, which is the Digital World Acquisition Corp, essentially the SPAC that's taking President Trump's media company public, up 5.3% after he told Fox News, I'm not moving back to Twitter, even if they unsuspend my account. So good news there for his social media company. Also keep an eye on Snapchat. SNAP is your ticker, down 1.2%. A similar story for Pinterest. PINS is your ticker, down 0.8%. That's a monetization story. Think about your social media competitors for Twitter, Snapchat, and Pinterest not doing so well this morning.
All right, just quickly, let's look at some of the names that are moving on earnings this morning.
Yeah, two big ones. PepsiCo is the one. PEP is your ticker, up 0.2%. We're waiting for the earnings calls. We're going to get a little bit more information there. But right now, they raised their sales growth, basically saying consumers are returning to bars thanks to the easing of pandemic restrictions. The other one you want to keep an eye on is GE. GE is also the name of the company and the ticker, down just shy of 3%. This comes after they're seeing challenges in inflation, the Russia-Ukraine war, renewable energy, supply chain constraints, and launching three independent investment-grade companies.
Yeah,
investors not liking it.
Very important earnings story there from GE. All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Always something to talk about in the pre-market. Looking ahead to the market open, S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 122, and NASDAQ futures lower by 50 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly cloudy, chance for showers today, mid-60s for highs. We'll get into the upper 50s, mostly sunny tomorrow, and it'll be mostly sunny breezy with a high near 55 on Thursday. Right now, 53 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower. Earnings are crossing the Bloomberg. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are in the red right now. Dow futures down 100 points. S&P's dropped 13, while NASDAQ futures are off by 42. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.78%. Gold is up 6. Oil is down. And Bitcoin is higher by 0.6%. Shanghai dropped 1.4% overnight, while European markets are in the green, led by 1% gains in France and Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders, and at 10 o'clock, new home sales and consumer confidence. After the bell last night, Whirlpool cut its forecast. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, GE said full-year adjusted EPS will be at the low end of the range. 3M sales missed estimates. UPS beat. And Pepsi raised its sales outlook. Wrapping things up, Baker Hughes raised to buy over at HSBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill Maloney, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, SQUAWK. And just looking at some of those stocks moving in the early trade, with General Electric down 3.2% right now. UPS is up 3.33%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now we see what's going on around the world. And here's Michael Barr. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Antonio Guterres, head of the United Nations, is in Moscow to try to discuss a possible ceasefire with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, Ukraine says five train stations were hit by Russian airstrikes in the space of an hour yesterday. Following a three-day search, the body of a missing Texas Army National Guard soldier from Arlington was found in the Rio Grande River near Eagle Pass. That's where 22-year-old specialist Bishop Evans was last seen trying to help two migrants who appeared to be drowning. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics eliminated the Nets. Boston beat Brooklyn 116-112 to sweep the series in four games. In MLB, the Mets and Giants won. The Red Sox lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT offers New Jersey's first undergraduate degree in fintech, tech-driven, finance-focused. Learn more at njit.edu/fintech. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Beijing has begun mass coronavirus testing of millions of its residents. It's part of an unprecedented scheme to squash Omicron's spread before it spirals out of control in the Chinese capital. Nearly 20 million people undergo three rounds of COVID testing through the weekend. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin is exploring an energy and climate package aimed at winning Republican support. A bipartisan energy package could undercut the broader Democratic agenda, but it could give President Biden an election year win on an issue voters care about. Manchin says one area of common ground could be reform of the federal oil and gas leasing process. And an investor-led push for major oil companies to set climate goals in line with the Paris Agreement won support from a key proxy advisor for the first time. Institutional Shareholder Services urged investors in Occidental Petroleum and refiner Valero Energy to back proposals to align the company's targets for cutting greenhouse gas emissions, including those of their customers, with the Paris Accord. And that's according to investor reports seen by Bloomberg. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's almost 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Senator Elizabeth Warren calling Elon Musk's Twitter buyout dangerous, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin hosting talks on boosting Ukraine's military, and President Biden issuing his first round of pardons as part of a new criminal justice initiative. Let's bring back Joe Matthew now, Bloomberg Washington correspondent, host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio. Obviously, the Elon Musk Twitter story is not going away, certainly not this morning, and it's making the rounds on Capitol Hill now, Joe.
Yeah, that's for sure. We heard from a number of lawmakers on this. You know, you get a big story like this, Nathan, and it gets people talking. It was in the air on Capitol Hill. It was in the air at the White House. It came up in the White House briefing. Senator Elizabeth Warren had probably the strongest words, which might not come as a surprise. Not a big fan of Elon Musk buying Twitter. In fact, says that the deal here, assuming that it closes, and that's a big assumption at the moment, demonstrates the need for serious regulation for big tech. Those are her words. She says it's dangerous for one billionaire to decide how millions of people will communicate with each other. And it sounds a lot like what we heard from the White House yesterday. Not quite as full-throated, but Jen Psaki was asked about this, the White House press secretary, and was clearly prepared for the question, saying that the president has long argued that tech platforms must be held accountable for the harms they cause, not actually quantifying them, but the harms they cause. And has been a strong supporter of reform, she said, including reforming Section 230. That's going to be an interesting prospect here for Republicans who have been calling for reforms to Section 230 because they believe that conservative voices are censored, for lack of a better word, on sites like Twitter. Now that Democrats are talking about this, you wonder what form that could take.
Yeah, and interestingly, when you think about Section 230 and potential reforms, and Elon Musk talking about making Twitter more of a free speech platform, there's been a lot of discussion about whether former President Donald Trump could be allowed back on Twitter. Has there been any talk on Capitol Hill about that, Joe?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was actually asking a few folks about this yesterday, and this follows a comment from Trump himself on Fox, saying that he would not be coming back to Twitter. You know, he's got his own platform now called Truth Social. But then again, he's what do you say? Do you truth on Truth Social? You don't tweet on Truth. He posted once, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
As opposed to the 20 times a day that he used to be on Twitter. Anyone that I have asked, any Republican, is hopeful, in fact, well, number one, doesn't believe it, thinks that he will actually return to Twitter because he can't resist 80 million users. But many of them are hoping that he does not. That is where Donald Trump found a lot of trouble for himself, of course, leading to his final ban from Twitter not that long ago.
Which potentially, Joe, raises the calculations for the midterms. Mm-hmm. What potentially could a return of former President Trump to Twitter mean for Republicans in the midterms?
Well, it's a way for him to deliver the message on endorsements. It's a way for him to knock his opponents. It's also, as I mentioned, a way for him to step in a pile. Look, there's still no edit button. I know they're talking about that at Twitter. And I'm not sure the president would use one anyway. I mean, the late night tweets, you have to go back in time. It's hard to even remember what that was like, to be waking up every morning and running to Twitter to figure out what the future policy of the administration would be. People were fired on Twitter without hearing about it first, and hired, for that matter, without hearing about it. The way it would impact the midterm elections, I think we've seen this movie before. And of course, the former president has endorsed a number of candidates in races around the country. I suspect that he'd be on that Twitter fairly often if he were allowed back.
All right. In the time we have left, Joe, let's talk a little bit about the latest on what's happening in Ukraine. We have Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in Germany leading this major discussion about getting more military aid to Ukraine.
It's an important discussion. We've got military leaders from more than 40 countries, that's NATO and beyond, all meeting at Ramstein Air Base in Germany. This is being hosted by the Secretary of Defense. The Chairman of the Joint Chiefs will be there. And this is to get real answers to not just how much money you need, but what do we need to spend it on? What actual tools do we need to send you? And this follows the most recent shipment of heavy artillery in preparation for the Battle of the Donbass. And while that conversation is happening, the UN Secretary General is in Moscow to meet with Vladimir Putin, which Ukraine is not terribly fond of. Ukraine's defense minister wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal accusing the UN of being an enabler of Russian war crimes. Now, Guterres will move on to meet with President Zelensky on Thursday in Kyiv, and should be a fascinating conversation as we hear again from Russia's foreign minister, in this case, Sergei Lavrov, you know, rolling out the possibility of nuclear weapons being used, which says a lot about Russia's position and posture right now in Ukraine.
Yeah, once again, that rhetoric coming back. And just to turn things back to domestic politics, because just this hour, Joe, President Biden announced a pretty significant round of pardons and commutations. This is the first time he's done this.
Yeah, his first. A lot of folks expected some in his first year. We didn't get any, offering clemency today to 77 nonviolent drug offenders, along with a former Secret Service agent who we've been reporting on. Bloomberg, you can read about him on the terminal, who claims he was singled out for prosecution after exposing racism in the agency. He was, in fact, convicted of selling a copy of an internal document. Abraham Bolden, 86 years old, the first African-American to serve on a presidential detail. He has maintained his innocence all these years, Nathan.
All right, Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew with us this morning. Catch much more this afternoon. Bloomberg Sound On every weekday afternoon at 5 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. Pretty significant guest for Joe this evening. We'll be speaking with Republican Congressman Daryl Issa. So you'll want to check in for that conversation later today. And you can read much more about all these stories we've been talking about on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Right now, S&P futures are down 13 points. Dow futures down 106. NASDAQ futures down 48 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 8/32. The yield, 2.78%. Yield on the two-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude up 0.3% at $98.92 a barrel. This red headline just crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Raytheon is cutting its sales outlook for the fiscal year on Russia. Global sanctions. Much more to come on Bloomberg Surveillance. That's next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.